This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and it's going to be an awesome Tuesday. Remember that talk we had last night about the Navy and how we're lacking personnel and things like that? That story is actually deeper than even we went last night. About an hour and a half, we're going to have an expert on, Brandon Weikert, to discuss that. We are going to discuss this Mark Zuckerberg, owner of Facebook or CEO, whatever he is, the letter to, well, the GOP, but more importantly, it's a letter to the United States of America. In fact, we have to dig into that in depth. I will cross my heart and hope to die. I will talk about this new statue being built in place of a Confederate statue. Are you ready to defend the Confederacy? That's always super popular. Men and women continue to race in opposite directions. The GOP is still controlled opposition in many ways. Dome flipping one way, then flipping over, not unusual for her, on the border. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here, though. And in fact, this is going to take a while to get to all this, and there are many different parts to this, so stay with me. This is something we talk about a lot, and we sadly will probably talk about this for the duration of my time doing media, whether that be tonight or 10, 30, 40 years from now. Western governments turning their guns on you. The American government specifically. Taking all of its guns, all that power, and aiming it inward instead of outward. It is, historically, it is the canary in a coal mine for a nation that is crumbling. Doesn't matter what that nation is, doesn't matter the period of time in history. It is government's nature to acquire force for itself. Government will acquire force. I don't care if we're going back to the Assyrians. It doesn't matter what period of time we're in. Let's make it about the Assyrians, actually. The Assyrians, their government, their king, it was kingdom, their king, he was always acquiring armor, spears, swords, shields. And the purpose of that was external enemies, external conquest. That's why you would have an armory the way they had it. That's why you would have a professional standing army as they did at the time. It was for the enemies of the Assyrian state. You want to come get some? We'll come get some. We've got the swords and spears to do it. Or, look, on the conquest realm, hey, that's some pretty fertile farmland you got there. I think I'll take it. I'm going to grab my swords and spears and we're going to come take it. This is how it's worked. The Romans, same thing, forever. Armor, swords, spears, the army, things like that. And then eventually when a nation gets too corrupt, when the people who run a nation get too corrupt, they realize they are part of a criminal enterprise. And once you're part of a criminal enterprise, as we are now, our government is a criminal enterprise. Once your nation gets to that point, they will look at all those guns, all those missiles, all those bombs, all those planes, the FBI, the military, doesn't matter what it is. And they will not look at them as something to be used on external enemies, because a corrupt government doesn't really see external enemies. A corrupted government understands the real threat to its power are the people internally who want that corruption stopped. If you're a corrupt politician, Republican or Democrat, in the United States of America, you don't go to sleep at night. You don't wake up in the morning stressing about China, Russia, Iran, pick your politician. Look, we can make it about Dome or Chuck Schumer, make it about Mitch McConnell. I don't care who you make it about. These people do not go to sleep stressing about foreign adversaries. They go to sleep. They wake up in the morning stressing about you. You, the American citizen. The American citizen who wants his government to run well, who wants his taxpayer dollars used wisely, who wants his border secured, who wants his dollar to be handled in a professional manner so it doesn't bankrupt him. You're so burdensome with your freaking demands. You think you have rights. You want these constitutional rights. You need them to do these things, and they don't want to do these things. They don't want to secure your border. They don't want to take care of your dollar. They want to gobble up as much of your money as humanly possible and hand out gobs of it to their friends to buy more money and power for themselves. And you're so annoying with your nagging and your demands. And so, just like has happened in so many countries throughout history, all those guns. Picture a ship. Picture an old sailing ship, a warship. All those cannons pointing out. As things get more and more corrupt, the cannons have been pulled back in, and they're slowly but surely now pointing inward to the people the state truly deems to be the enemy. Tulsi Gabbard, she came out and endorsed Donald Trump yesterday. It's been big news, and that is big news. I don't want to be dismissive of it, but I thought a couple parts of this were pretty eye-opening and pretty accurate.
We cannot be prosperous unless we are at peace. And we can't live free as long as we have a government that is retaliating against its political opponents and undermining our civil liberties, weaponizing our very institutions against those they deem as a threat. Kamala Harris has done this over the last 3.5 years. She won't hesitate to continue that if she is elected as president.
Very true. This part, a little bit more tangible, a little bit more frightening.
I've been their most recent target, added to a secret domestic terror watch list after exposing the truth about what kind of dangers we would face if Kamala Harris is elected as president. We as Americans must stand together to reject this anti-freedom culture of political retaliation and abuse of power.
Did you know Tulsi Gabbard, after she stopped being a Democrat and started to espouse more right-wing views, did you know that the United States federal government put her on the terrorist watch list, and when she travels now, she is followed by federal agents? It's called the Quiet Skies Program. Did you know that? That's not China. That's not Russia. That's the United States of America. You know what Telegram is? It's a social media messaging site, and it's sold as being super, super private. This is the one the feds can't get to. No one's watching it. The guy's name is Pavel Durov. He's Russian-born. He went on Tucker Carlson. I want you to listen very, very, very closely to what Pavel says right
here. Last time I was in the U.S., I brought an engineer that is working for Telegram, and there was an attempt to secretly hire my engineer behind my back by cybersecurity officers or agents, wherever they are called.
The U.S. government tried to hire your engineer?
That's my understanding. That's what he told me.
To write code for them or to break into Telegram?
They were trying to persuade him to use certain open source tools that he would then integrate into the Telegram's code that, in my understanding, would serve as backdoors.
Would allow the U.S. government to spy on people who use Telegram?
The U.S. government, or maybe any other government, because a backdoor is a backdoor, regardless of who is using it.
The FBI approached the man who had the anonymous social media platform and tried to flip his engineer to get him to put something in there so they could look at the things you say in private. He said this too.
Whenever I would go to the U.S., I would have two FBI agents greeting me at the airport, asking questions. One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising. And I thought, you know, we're getting too much attention here. It's probably not the best environment to run.
Why would the, had you committed a crime?
No, they were interested to learn more about Telegram. They knew I, you know, left Russia. They knew what we were doing, but they wanted details. And my understanding is that they wanted to establish a relationship to kind of, in a way, control Telegram better.
I'm going to read for you some portions of this Mark Zuckerberg letter to Jim Jordan, and it's eye-opening. It's eye-popping what has happened. The guns, the cannons on the ship, they are officially pointed inward now. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Talking right now about Western governments, the American government, taking all those guns, all that power, and slowly but surely turning those guns inward as they realize the American people, the patriotic American citizen, is the biggest threat these corrupt people have. You and your values, the values of freedom, Second Amendment, free speech, these things are the biggest threat the bad people in power have. Not Russia, not China, not Iran, you. And as such, they use their power. Remember, the communist believes in using his power. He always has. He always will. There's a little story. I might get to it in more depth later on, but I'll give you an example right now. Michigan's Secretary of State, she's a full-blown Soros commie. She is refusing to remove RFK off the ballot. Okay. We all know why. That's helping Democrats, but she bent over backwards to try to get Cornel West off the ballot. Cornel West would, of course, taken more votes from Dome. So she's using her official position as Secretary of State to electioneer on behalf of Democrats. Of course she is. The communist uses power. When you have a corrupt, evil federal government, and that evil federal government is committing crimes, looting the treasury, pillaging this country, they look at the military. They look at the FBI. They look at social media. They look at every piece of power in this country, and they think to themselves, how do I use that against my enemies before my enemies get me? Mark Zuckerberg is the head of the largest social media platform on the planet. It's called Facebook, although I think they switched it to Meta now. These freaks always have to change the name of something. He wrote a long, long letter. I'm not going to read all of it, don't worry, to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan is the head of the House Judiciary Committee. And what I'm about to read for you, honestly, it may not even blow you away because you listen to this show and you know a lot of these things. But what I'm about to read for you is one of the most frightening admissions of abuses of power by your government I've ever read in my entire lifetime. And this is in writing. So here's what it is. This is from the letter. In 2021, senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree. Ultimately, it was our decision whether or not to take content down, and we own our decisions, including COVID-19-related changes we made to our enforcement in the wake of this pressure. Pause before I go on anymore. COVID-19? What? A virus? The White House? The President of the United States of America was leaning on a social media company to censor what you could and could not consume? When you combine that with the knowledge that the federal government and the American media were busy telling you that human medication like ivermectin was somehow horse dewormer when humans had taken ivermectin by the doses of billions by that point in time, and they were on social media, leaning on social media, telling you what you could and couldn't take. I know we're used to living in a pseudo-communist country. That's insane. I'll go on. I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret we were not more outspoken about it. I also think we made some choices that, with the benefit of hindsight and new information, we wouldn't make today. Like I said, our teams at the time, I feel strongly we should not compromise on content standards due to pressure from any administration in either direction, and we're ready to push back if something like this happens again. In a separate situation, the FBI warned us about a potential Russian disinformation operation about the Biden family and Burisma leading up to the 2020 election. That fall, when we saw a New York Post story reporting on corruption allegations involving then-Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's family, we sent that story to fact-checkers for review and temporarily demoted it while waiting for a reply. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation, and in retrospect, we shouldn't have demoted the story. We changed our policies and processes to make sure this doesn't happen again. For instance, we no longer temporarily demote things in the U.S. while waiting for fact checkers. And he's not quite done yet. I will read just a couple more quick things, but I just feel like it's once again appropriate to marinate on something you already know. The Federal Bureau of Investigation had possession of Hunter Biden's laptop in 2019. They had it all for a year. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt it was authentic. They knew it wasn't Russian disinformation. And yet the secret state police agency in this country approached social media and told them to censor something so Donald Trump would lose an election and Joe Biden could win. There should be no FBI anymore on that story alone. That story alone should come with the complete disbandment of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Because you cannot continue as a country with that kind of abuse of power. I'll finish this letter in just a moment. Before I do that, let me tell you about finding something you can touch and feel, a place to put your money right now. Hard assets. As always, hard assets in rocky times, in good times. Land, precious metals, real estate. Land, precious metals, real estate, because you can touch and feel these things because they have value that goes way beyond consumer spending or a market. Start with real estate. That's what Done For You Real Estate does. They help normal people get involved in this. These are normal people, family people who run this company. And they are here to help you start this process. They'll walk you through it all. They'll walk you through the finances of it all. They'll handle the closing. They'll handle the rental process. They can't do any of this unless you get a hold of them, though. DoneForYouJesse.com is where you go. DoneForYouJesse.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Do not forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, I am a big fat liar, and you're going to be mad at me, and I'm sorry. It's totally my fault. I wish I could even blame Chris, but I can't. You know how I told you September 18th was going to be the next day I'm gone? It's actually going to be this Friday. I'm sorry. I have a thing I have to go do. I won't be here Friday. I'll be back next week. Other than that, it'll be September 18th. So I lied. I'm a freaking liar. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Now let's get back to the weaponization of government. Let's finish this letter from Mark Zuckerberg to Jim Jordan. Apart from content moderation, I want to address the contributions I made during the last presidential cycle to support electoral infrastructure. The idea here was to make sure local election jurisdictions across the country had resources they needed to help people vote safely during a global pandemic. I made these contributions through the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. They were designed to be nonpartisan, spread across urban, rural, and suburban communities. Still, despite the analysis I've seen showing otherwise, I know that some people believe this work benefited one party over the other. My goal is to be neutral and not play a role one way or the other, or even appear to be playing a role. So I don't plan on making a similar contribution this cycle. I said all this about the weaponization of government. I'm back. I'm out of character. I'm not reading the letter. It's me now. I said all this to open the show about the weaponization of government. One, because I wanted us to always be aware of it, be vigilant about what's happening in our country, what's happening to us, and the dangers there. But also, there's something that is giving me some hope right now. Some hope about the federal government. I always have hope for our future. Remember, I am very, very hopeful just about different things than most people are. I've been honest. I am not hopeful. I've never been hopeful that we're going to get the 50-state United States back together again and fix everything. I am not. I'm really not. That's not the way history says countries go. But I've always been very hopeful that you and I can have wonderful lives and our children and their children after them because of the way our state system is set up and because of how many millions of Americans share our values. I really think we have a bright future possible for us if we dig in. I've always been hopeful about that. But on a different hopeful plane, I guess I'll put it that way. What I'm seeing right now out there, the distrust, the mass distrust of this corrupt, evil government and people being bold enough to speak about it publicly is giving me so much hope right now that people are waking up en masse. And I know, look, it's not Mark Zuckerberg here. I'm not going to sing Mark Zuckerberg's praises. And I know what he pulled in the 2020 election. And I know he censored the story. I'm not here to praise Mark Zuckerberg. But he, by the sounds of it, one, he's probably afraid at the possibility of a Trump administration coming in and addressing some of those 2020 concerns. That's probably the main reason for this. But also on top of that, he puts some specifics in here. He's naming names. He's naming dates. In 2021, the Biden administration. In a separate situation, the FBI, he's naming entities. He's naming names. And he's putting this in writing, and it's public. And he's saying this is wrong. This is a CEO of a social media company speaking out. You heard, we played little bits and pieces of it. It doesn't sound great for radio, but RFK Jr., The Democrat, he was running as an independent, you know, RFK Jr., he backs out. He endorses Trump. But more importantly than that, he stood on that stage. He stood at that microphone and he crucified a tyrannical Democrat Party, an evil media, an evil Democrat Party. And he didn't do it quietly. He didn't whisper it. He shouted it publicly, loud and clear. This is evil. This is wrong. Yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard.
We cannot be prosperous unless we are at peace. And we can't live free as long as we have a government that is retaliating against its political opponents and undermining our civil liberties, weaponizing our very institutions against those they deem as a threat. Kamala Harris has done this over the last 3.5 years. She won't hesitate to continue that if she is elected as president.
We have moved past the very, very naive era we were in where people on the right are pretending like these are just, well, well-meaning liberals who just kind of have a different view of things. We've moved past the ultra-pathetic GOP era where we say things like, well, we all want the same things. We've moved past that. And we've moved into the era where people are finally speaking out loudly and publicly about a government turning evil quickly.
I've been their most recent target, added to a secret domestic terror watch list after exposing the truth about what kind of dangers we would face if Kamala Harris is elected as president. We as Americans must stand together to reject this anti-freedom culture of political retaliation and abuse of power.
And it's giving me hope. And remember this. Remember, as we've talked about before, these people are looting the treasury. That's what they're doing. This is a gang of bank robbers. The media has joined with the Democrats, with Republican leadership, with Hollywood, with education. They have joined forces together in an effort to burn down the country and loot the treasury as fast as they possibly can. And the gang only gets away with this as long as people don't speak out and speak up, as long as people are afraid and hiding and not saying anything, then the bad guys win. But when people are finally getting bold enough to speak up, here's the thing about courage. Just like panic, it's contagious. You saw that during COVID, how contagious panic was. One mask led to another mask, led to vaccinated. Well, you can't come to Thanksgiving if you haven't had your 19th booster shot and a gas mask on. Panic is contagious. So is courage. The more people who speak out and speak up, the more people will. I think this is, yes, we are in a scary situation. I know we are. I don't want to put rose-colored glass. I don't want to look at it through rose-colored glasses. It is scary. It's frightening. It's bad. But I am feeling like people are waking up. And that is not me saying, that's not me making it about the election in November. Although I'm hopeful about that too. I've told you that. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's not about the election in November. The election in November will not determine whether or not this country continues on or this country crumbles and turns into a dark police state. The election in November is important, don't get me wrong, but that's not what will determine it. The rise or fall of a nation is not an event. It's a process. The American people waking up to the evils of their government, that is what will determine whether we continue on for another 250 years or whether 100 years from now they're talking about us in the past tense. That's what will determine it. Will the American people wake up and wake up in time to what is happening in their country? That's a fact. All right? I feel good. I feel really good. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just that I feel a weight off my shoulders.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
What, Chris? You don't even know how heavy 10 boxes are. Chris, we have a new, I should announce this, we have a new permanent addition to the soundboard. John Fetterman has started to speak more eloquently, and he's actually fairly sane. I mean, he's no friend of mine or yours, but he's fairly sane. So we decided to drop the Fetterman screeching off the soundboard because I think this one's going to get a lot of play.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Yeah. All right, let's do some emails. But first, let's do some rough greens. Let's talk about rough greens, shall we? I'm a huge naturopathic doctor guy. I have normal doctor too, but I prefer naturopathic doctors. I prefer natural solutions to really everything now. You know that rough greens was created by naturopathic doctor Dennis Black? He's a Green Beret. He's a freaking Green Beret. The dude just loves dogs. And he realized there's no nutrition in dog food. It's all brown because it's all dead. That's a fact. That's why all dog food looks the same. It's dead. It's garbage. It's empty calories. So he created Rough Greens. This green powder. You pour it on your dog's food. Your dog gets everything he needs for a longer, healthier life. Vitamins, antioxidants, probiotics. You'll see a difference in your dog's coat, in his breath, his health. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have to kind of pause everything for a second, and I have to have a little bit more of a serious, heavy talk, if you don't mind. I just got word just now. A Marine I served with just took his own life. And this is a guy, he really, really struggled when we got back from Iraq. is really, really messed up for a while, as I was, you know, as a lot of us were. And he just never could get himself worked out. Probably 2 or 3 years ago, I found out how bad his problems were. And so I got a hold of a veterans group I know that runs a really, really great veterans program. Nothing government, but the private stuff is always better. And they take in veterans and get them all healed up and shaped up and get them back into the world. You know, get them, not toss them a pill bottle. Get them back into the world in the right way and get everything worked out. And I got him into the program, and he just decided he didn't want to go. He just never went. Chose not to go get the help he should have gotten. And he's got to be, I would guess, 40-year-old man, family, and now he's gone. Took his own life. So I just wanted to say, not just for veterans, although it most definitely is for you veterans especially, but stick around, please. And I'm not in any way at all dismissive of what you go through mentally and what you are going through in your life. I know about the valleys of life. I know. Maybe you are in the middle of hell. Maybe you are in the middle of a divorce, job loss, money, kid problems, parent problems. Who knows? Life. Maybe you have some kind of sickness, cancer, whatever. I know that life can kick you in the teeth a lot. Believe me, I know. I know it can. But I also know this. I know that God will take you home when he's good and ready. And you don't need to hit the fast forward button on it. Gentlemen, I'm going to speak to you specifically. And this is Pigheaded Jesse. Reach out. Get help. Tell somebody something. You don't have to sit there and drown alone. You don't have to sit there and drown it in a whiskey bottle. You don't have to drown it by yourself. Hide all that pain and misery and all that stuff. Guilt. Guilt is a huge part of it. People don't talk enough about the guilt some vets come with. You know, everything doesn't work out well over there. Sometimes bad things happen. Whatever it is, you don't have to walk through it alone. And I know, I know this for a fact. Maybe you're not comfortable telling your wife. And ladies, maybe you're not comfortable telling your husband. You're probably not. Your mom, your dad. And I know exactly what you say to yourself in the dark, because I said it to myself in the dark, full of booze, many, many, many times when I got back. You say to yourself, nobody understands. No one understands. I can't tell anyone. I won't tell anyone. No one understands. That's crap. People do understand. Maybe not your wife. Not your kids. Maybe not your mom. Maybe they don't. But there are a lot of people out there who understand. So reach out and get help. If you don't know where to begin, if you are lost, if you are that veteran, if you are a veteran and you are sinking deep and sinking low, you email me right freaking now. Now, I'm not telling you I'm going to email you back in 5 seconds. Obviously, it's got to go through Chris and we got to verify stuff. You want somebody to listen, somebody to get you something, some kind of help? I will find a way to get you some kind of freaking help. I don't care if I have to pay for it myself. You email now, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Send it in. I ain't promising a miracle. I will not leave you alone, all right? Or, yes, that's a good point, Chris. There's a suicide hotline. You don't even have to remember a long phone number now. 988. Just hit 988 and hit send. They even have specific lines for veterans. Maybe you don't want to email me. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you don't want Chris to read it. I don't know. I get all that. All that stuff is fine. Reach out to someone else. I don't need to ever know. I don't need to ever know. Reach out. You are not done yet. Your service in the military, your service overseas, I promise you this, cross my heart and hope to die, it's not the last thing you're ever going to do in this life. I know that because you're still here. If it was supposed to be the last thing you ever did, then you would have died over there. But you didn't. You came home and you have a purpose. You understand? Stop taking your life. Stop digging deeper into the pill bottle, into the booze bottle. And this is not me lecturing you if you want a glass of booze. I'd be the last person in the world I could ever talk down to anyone about that. Stop trying to cover up the pain. Stop trying to hide everything. Reach out and get yourself some friggin' help because you're not done here yet. And maybe you will be soon. Maybe God will be done with you tomorrow. Maybe 50 years from now. Maybe God's done with me tonight. Yeah, I don't know when he's going to take me home. Maybe I'm going to finish this show tonight and I'm going to get splattered in my car on the way home. I don't know. That's the way it goes. It's his life, not mine. But don't hit the fast forward button on it. Get some freaking help. All right? Jesse@jessekellyshow.com if you don't know where to begin. And again, if you just want to call them, you can call them 988. Oh, I didn't know there was a text line. Thank you, Chris. You can text them. You don't want to talk to anybody? Maybe you're sitting there drunk, miserable, depressed. You don't want to talk to anybody. Shoot them a text. You ready for the number? 838-255. Hey, I'm Bob and I'm hurting. Send that text. 838-255. Get yourself some friggin' help, okay? All right, I'm done. We're going to move back and I'm finally going to address this Confederate statue that was taken down. And of course, the communists built a new one in its place. And we're just going to have a discussion about the hows, the whys, and things like that. We have a lot of great stuff still to come. And speaking of great stuff, DIFCJ is still out there doing great stuff. You know, food supply is a big issue in Israel. Did you know that? And the farmlands, especially the farmlands in northern Israel, think how wild this is. They're so rural that firefighting, it's not official firefighting, it's not an option available to them. So if you're on these lands and Hezbollah drops a rocket in the middle of your field and it starts a fire, you have to put it out on your own. Well, how can normal people get a hold of firefighting equipment? How can they even get a hold? How do they even afford it? IFCJ. That's where your donations to IFCJ go. Again, they're trying to find someone to match 500 donations. They have someone who will match it. They're trying to get you $150, 500, $150 donations, and they have a donor who will match those. Go help out. 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.